It's the Early Late Show. It's Tuesday night. It's Castle Council time. Yeah, welcome back. We've had a little break. COVID scares again. I'm sure we're all pretty tired of COVID scares, but they're going to keep on hounding us, I think, for a while still, as we're approaching the dreaded third wave, apparently. Well, let's not talk about the terrible things. Let's talk about the good things. And in studio with me tonight, I have a beautiful lady, Elsa B. from London. Elsa B., welcome to Castle's Council.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Stephen.
Am I hearing you there? Am I not getting you through? Check, talk that again there for me. Sorry.
Yes, testing. There we go. Yes.
Is it terrible? Is that working?
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
That works better for me.
That one sounds terrible. I think it's picking up that one.
Okay.
I'm hoping. Let's just see. Let me just see.
Should I change mics?
Just give me that mic across there for me. Sorry about that, Elsa B. It seems like we got... Oh, I know. I just worked out what it is. Take that one back. This is what the fun of radio, live radio.
Oh, yes, there we go.
People pushing buttons all over these things here, and they've turned off things. Sorry, Elsa B. Let's try that again.
No problem.
In studio, Elsa B. Welcome to Castle's Council.
Well, great. Definitely a reason we had to do a second take on that. So now we've got a lot more viewers as well watching and tuning in. So let's get the conversation going.
Are we live somewhere?
Yeah, I'm live. I'm live on my Instagram.
Instagram live. Okay.
Yes.
We've done those a few times, yeah. Elsa B., welcome to the show. The reason why you're here is I heard about a new reality program that somehow you're involved with.
Yes.
And I don't know much about it, but I want to find out more about it. And if anybody's interested in that, you can let them know how to get hold of you, whatever it is. But tell me a little bit about yourself, because you just told me now for 13 years as an agent.
Yeah, today is a special day. I realized I'm getting a little bit older, but I realized with age comes wisdom. So it comes now at 13 years today that I have been an agent. 24 years being in the industry, I decided 13 years ago that no more commercial modeling, no more acting. After I finished my role with Leon Schuster in Mr. Bones 2, I played the character Nancy. And now everyone's going to check that out. I'm the blonde bimbo in Mr. Bones 2.
Okay.
And after that, I decided that it's time for me to get back into the industry and ultimately become an agent and give back to the industry and to artists what I never had, and that was ultimately being able to obtain international education as well as getting an international opportunity to meet and network with international industry professionals. So now it's been 11 years that I've been networking and allowing local talent from the African continent, educational scholarships with the New York Film Academy. I'm the only agent that they work with in South Africa. 11 years we've been able to give young hopefuls first world education and ultimately running a showcase whereby we fly in 6 American agents to South Africa, whereby we actually give international opportunities in our nation to local models and actors.
Okay, you have to explain all that to me in a little bit now.
Yes, absolutely.
You just went from 0 there to 100 miles an hour. Okay, so tell me now quickly. Elsa B., you spoke about you were in the industry, you were an actress,
yes,
model.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and you gave that up 13 years ago?
Correct. It feels like yesterday.
I was going to say, but like you're only 25 or something.
I know. I mean, I started at 24, you know, and I'm joking.
So, okay, so 13 years you gave it all up.
Yes.
What's it like being on the other side of the industry?
You know, I think the greatest blessing for me was being able to be a struggling artist. I don't think today's artists really realize. Everyone's thinking COVID is tough, but being an artist pro 2008, when agents were still like doing the PAYEs and you didn't really get access to your contracts, it was a lot harder because there was actually no regulation in terms of rates. So,
there's a regulation now?
Yeah. In terms of rates, production companies now basically do your PAYE. So there is no way that agents can basically, you know, work around
Screw
the real
you.
Rates. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Let's just say what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a lot more transparent.
Absolutely. And that makes it easier for me, you know, now in this time as an agent, because you at least know what the real rates are. And I've worked so many years with...
Were you shocked when you actually saw what the rates were after you...
That is the best question. Like, I haven't spoken about this, I think, much in my life. But the first time I heard about a renewal, I was an agent.
Oh, wow.
I've never received a renewal in my life.
Now,
even though my ads were running for years.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, was that because they didn't get the renewal, or was it because you just when told about it?
Well, I mean, that is open for imagination.
What edits were you in? Give us some edits.
Well, okay, so I played in Binnenlanders. I always used to play the bad roles.
Were you the evil bitch?
I was evil. I was never the nice person. I mean, like, I'm a mother, I've got three kids, and I'm sweet, but I was always... In Egoli 2005, I smuggled with human organs. I was like that bad girl in the basement. I played in a Bollywood film called Prince, and I was part of the mafia. We jumped out of planes. We did stunts. I did a Hallmark series. I played as a tourist. I think that was the nicest role I ever had. I did Sunlight, the actual Handy Andy kind of like cleaning.
It's the Sunlight liquid or the Sunlight? The
Handy Andy. Like I was Tiffany, a housewife from Bryanston, and I was doing aerobics with Handy Andy in 2007, you know? So,
I don't remember that. I think I still had TV those days. I might remember that.
The worst casting of my life was the Wimpy or KFC, the one of Aurelia Henry. I love it when you speak foreign to me.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
I so badly destroyed
that. Was that you?
No, I never booked it, but my audition, I did not know that there's not going to be another actor with me in studio.
Yeah.
So there was like a short casting director and I couldn't see her like over and above the camera. And I didn't know if I should act to my actor on the side, imaginary, improv, or if I should read to her. So it was one of my worst auditions in my life, where I expected to see this foreign, like Italian kind of guy, and there was this young lady behind a camera, which I couldn't see. So those are one of the auditions that if anyone had to recall that casting tape or audition tape, it would destroy my life because it was terrible.
How did you get into acting? Where does LCB come from?
Yo, LCB comes from the caravan park. My dad used to work in construction. We used to travel. I was in three grade ones.
In what area? Joburg?
Everywhere. No, East London, Prieska, Kimberley, Botswana, Namibia. We traveled throughout Richards Bay through the Transkei. I spent a lot of my time in the Transkei in the Eastern Cape, and always from caravan park to caravan park, you know, so from school to school. And I think that really motivated me because always having to make new friends was very interesting.
Yeah.
And, you
could always be somebody different.
I love that.
You could always be somebody different.
You arrive and, you know, it's like, this is LCB, and they introduce you to the class and you feel like you're at an AA meeting and it's like, hi, LCB, you know, and it's like, so where are you from? And I'm like, oh, we stay in the local caravan park, you know, and I was just a happy person and I always had this like richness to my heart and my dreams. And I realized from a very, very young age that the world is a very cruel place. And that for me was very interesting. So observing humanity and interaction with people.
Interesting you say that now. It's a very cruel place.
Yeah.
You think it's cruel or it's a very hard world?
I think people are interesting.
In that it'll be cruel if you allow it to be, or it'll be hard. Because there's a fine line between being cruel and hard. Mm. I think if you allow it to get to you, it'll be cruel. But if you just take it as it's just that you got to work hard and you got to just ignore those negativities, it's just a hard journey.
You know, I think based on what I've seen from growing up, there's so many kids that had everything going for them that couldn't, you know, stand through the pressure of like, you know, that peer pressure and like having to have everything and having the best clothes and stuff. And like, I rocked my Mr. Price clothes and my like made in China kind of stuff. So as you're saying, it's more a mindset.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that's like, I learned from a very young age is that I'm not going to get affected by my circumstances, but I'm ultimately going to be the rich person that I am at heart. So, you know, the comments from the outside world never got into my internal world. And that's where the stage started for me. So it was always a nice experience for me to get into a brand new school and get into a new environment and to get to know the kind of people that is from that specific location or area where we were placed.
Yeah.
So, I learned a lot from a very young age, but my love for performing started based on my new location that I was relocated to every 4 to 6 months.
So you started in school, you started with drama?
I started modeling,
was that the first?
Yes, I started modeling. I packed packets at the spa where my mom was working as a cashier. And after netball, I played essays from a very young age. I was very competitive. That was my thing. So under 10, I played under 13, board and netball. We went to essays. So it was a career choice for me between netball and modeling. And I decided that modeling was, I like to be on stage and I wanted to perform. And I love entertaining people. So I packed packets in the spa to pay for my modeling classes. And I moved to Joburg, and ultimately I was too short to model and I was too large. So 18 agencies rejected
me. Too large?
Me. Yeah, a little groot.
Oh, you mean, okay.
Yeah,
width,
a bit big. Yeah.
Width, okay.
Can't do. So too short and too big.
All right.
And I decided to go and study business management, understood that I wanted to...
So this is all after school though?
Yeah, so decided to do a year of business management and then went straight back into commercial modeling and then went to the Actors Center in Braamfontein. And started my acting classes there, and that's when my entire career as an actress started.
And how long were you in the industry as an actress?
Geez, started 2004 and ended 2008, converting into an agent from a commercial model and actress.
Okay, so a couple of years.
Yeah, I did a lot of modeling and then basically went over into commercial, like a lot of commercials and TV commercials and films and then soapies. That was my last, and then yeah. Mr. Bones too, yeah.
Was that always your plan though, was to go into the business side of it? With the business that you studied in it?
I would have loved to be a lawyer as well.
Oh, okay.
So if it wasn't performing arts, it would have definitely been LLB. I really enjoy interaction with people. And
it's a way of performing as well, isn't it?
It is. I look at lawyers sometimes and I'm like, you're a great actor. You know, it's like, so
have to be,
that is definitely for me something I would have done. But performing is my passion. And being able to give to others what I never had in the industry is, number one, leadership. And number two is being able to educate individuals that cannot afford a degree. So for me, I was training at the Actors Center, but the knowledge that I gained was more than enough for me. I was an extra for many years. I mean, like many jobs I went on as an extra, but I was good enough to place myself in positions where I can get featured.
Yeah.
And then that money I used to pay to do classes. I mean, in that time, it was like 70 rand a class. You know, so it was a pay as you go, you know. So as you book a class, you get your training and you go for the next casting and you grow from strength to strength. So I never got a degree, but I never needed a degree because the heart and the passion of the man is sometimes greater, because I always say where the mind goes, the man follows.
Thomas, you talk about passion, and now you said that acting and performing is a passion. Do you get that same fulfillment now on the other side of the business?
Yeah, a lot more, because there's a lot of control that you can create once you've done the work. So being able to be in a position where I have got international clients to the degree that I have now is really empowering. And being able to connect local talent and place them internationally, that is really amazing for me.
But does it still fulfill that passion of performing?
It does. I mean, like, I'm now a presenter of a TV show called Droomtrouwe on via TV, and being on this side of the camera again, it's interesting, because when you produce and you direct and now you have to present, then my brain is in three places, because I'm looking at the producer and I'm thinking producing, directing, and then I'm thinking technicality in terms of camera angle. So I cut myself sometimes and then I'll be like, can we just like retake that? And I'm like, you shouldn't do that. So it's difficult, to be honest, because if you fill the shoes behind the camera and you're sitting on camera now again, you want to do everyone's jobs. So I like that challenge, because I can sit there and I'm like, you completely messed
it
up.
Still creative in aspect of it.
Yeah,
but that's in the aspect of you presenting and doing the show. In the aspect of you as a businesswoman, as an agent, how do you fulfill the passion of performing as an agent? Do you still get that? How is that hunger fulfilled through others that you now place? Because that's interesting for me, is that you said that your passion was performing, your passion is acting and that whole. And now you're on the other side of that now. Okay, besides the TV thing that you're doing now, which is probably helping you a little bit in terms of feeding that, that passion. How is it as on the business side? How do you fulfill that? Is it just still being involved in the industry that does it?
You know, just for me being able to do the placements. Today we booked two amazing brands, one featured and two actual leads for commercials. And being able to do that placement has the same fulfillment in terms of passion. So ultimately for me, being able to create has got the same purpose and fulfillment than being able to be on this side of the camera. And I can tell you one thing that is very much a reality of my life is that what I had to learn and go through in the industry is what really drives me. When I'm able, I become very specific when there's artist contracts. I become very passionate about the fact that we can secure specific rates, that we can, you know, that I know where all the loopholes in the industry is and fight for artists. So my passion is really being able to fight for talent to get what they are worth and to ultimately be able to book the jobs that they deserve. So that is where that whole LLB, LCB kind of like legal side comes out, is to be able to give to those individuals what was not really given to me while I was in the industry.
You were protected.
So that for me is being able to be an agent to create and then protect them. That for me is the passion fulfillment. So being on this side of the camera was always fun until I realized that it's a lot more passion driven for me to
and fulfilling.
Directing.
Yeah.
So that side for me is more exciting than, you know, you get older as well. So you like, when you've done your time in front of camera, after Mr. Bones 2, I said to myself, LCB, what else do you want to book? You've basically done all the brands in the country. You've done all the soapies. International was impossible, and that's why I created the International Arts Talent Showcase. That is a national show that this year we're running our 11th annual show. We fly in Tyler Perry Studios, executive casting director, The Voice America, Blaze Johnson. So I fly in 6 American agents to a national talent platform whereby I scout, audition, and train the models, actors, singers, and dancers to perform.
All right, you're going to tell me more about that after
Absolutely.
This break. Yep, we're back. It's Castle Council. It's a Tuesday night. It's Early Late Show with myself, Stephen Castle, in studio. LCB from London. Tell me, LCB, 33andMe. Mm-hmm. Explain the name.
Okay, so 33andMe is definitely, I'm all about numerology. Absolutely love the numbers, the spiritual meaning behind it. And ultimately at 33, my entire life changed. And I decided to rename and rebrand. And I always used to be the director of an agency called Just You, where everything was always about placing other individuals first. Mm. And starting 33andMe rebranding, I decided that it's also time to place myself in a position where I am the creative director of my own life and the writer and not the lead actor in my own story.
What is the difference between a talent agency and just a normal, like name talent? Is that like, is it specific to like, because I have through the time and going through life as we have and doing different things that I've done, I always get these calls, guys saying, we want you to come and list with the agency and do a profile and then send your stuff off and go for interviews and auditions and.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the process? Is that the work that has to happen on the back end?
Well, it's an interesting conversation that you know, I can go into real depth in, because there's no regulation in terms of who's allowed to call themselves an agent.
Ah, that's what I wanted to get.
Or a manager. There's no regulation. It's a non-regulated industry. So I need to think carefully. But
okay. I could open. An office downstairs from here.
Absolutely.
And call it Castle's Council Agency.
Yes, you
and
can.
And go and tell everybody that walks into this area.
Absolutely.
Come and take photos. It'll cost you $500 for a portfolio. And then I can see you to go and audition for things.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So you know what I'm talking about.
It's happening and it's real.
Yes, okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll be worried about the 500 Rand because I paid 500 Rand in 2007. So that'll be my first like red lights, like the studio lights. Because,
but hang on, I've got digital camera.
And cell phones. You know, there's so many. I have personally been exposed to that. Like even in 1997 when I started. Agents came, you know, and then it's a pageant mom. And just because she was sitting at numerous modeling competitions, she's now a modeling coach. And that makes it very, very difficult for me. And it's something that...
What makes you a modeling coach? I'll tell you why I asked the question. Because you were so animated about your answer now. And I can see it. It's like, radio, they can't see it.
Yeah. So,
and then I think about, hang on a second. If experience gives you knowledge, if I'm sitting to a whole lot of pageants, I'm learning.
Yeah.
If I can pass that knowledge on and somebody's prepared to pay me, doesn't that make me a coach?
I guess it'll make you a coach, but whether you can create real opportunities, that's the difference.
But hang on. A coach, do I have to create opportunities?
Absolutely.
Isn't that the agent's job?
So there's two things here. So you get a modeling school, and then you get a modeling agent. But modeling schools call themselves agents because it attracts more talent or models. So you call yourself sometimes a talent agency because it's broader, but then you only have modeling like clients or fashion week clients. So it's the most important thing here, straight down to the point, and this, I saw me get hot flashes. It's like, do your research. I want to say, do your research, man.
Are you talking about the end
the
user?
Talent.
The talent.
Yeah.
See who you're dealing
the
with.
Models and the actors. Some of them are so desperate that, I mean, like I've had someone say to me, this was in BBM time, that Candace Swanepoel, which is a Victoria's Secret model, like under the top 10 highest earning models according to Forbes, send them a BBM to say, hey, send me pictures of yourself and then like we're gonna make you famous. And I'm like, where's the logic? Like, do your research, put the number into like a celebrity. Naomi Campbell is not going to send you a WhatsApp saying, hey, I saw your profile, like send me pictures. So there's way too many uneducated artists that want to be abused. Yeah, they want to be used.
It's more undereducated people.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call a spade, yeah. It's uneducated people and people hoping for the ticket to paradise.
But it's also called Google.
Yeah. Okay, but we live in a society now that's a lot easier to do. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just think 10 years back, even then it wasn't that easy to necessarily find information. Think 20 years. Think when you started.
I know. There was no cell phones. My first term was an Alcatel. It had the orange screen.
So exactly. So
I upgraded to Nokia 33.
It's so easy to take advantage of people there where there's limited resource. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're a talent agency. Mm-hmm. Now, what talent do you represent in terms of industry? Like, so do you do models?
Yeah, actors, singers, and dancers. So we do all four principles.
Okay. And does each of those principles have somebody in charge of that department, or is it?
Yes. So we've got multiple like talent scouts as well as bookers in our agency. So the talent scouts take care of the evaluation process to ensure that the person that sends an email saying, hey, I've got great potential. And then they need to prepare a TV commercial or a monologue, depending on what it is that they state. But so many resumes that we get, they'll say, I performed in all these like commercials and I've got this experience. Meanwhile, they're not even like star quality potential. They were an extra on all those sets. So artists also don't really disclose all the experience. Everyone wants to oversell and then they underdeliver. So there's talent scouts in our agency that evaluates the potential before representation. Okay. And then they get signed and you then get to the bookers and being on a system so that you can go to castings.
Do you headhunt? Do you go and find talent?
Oh, in shopping centers, I mean, like, I can't control, like, when I see someone who will book brands, I will absolutely stop in my tracks, even if I'm in my gym gear. I will give them a business card. And I was in the Checkers in Four Ways Mall once, and I scouted, like, I scouted twins in a trolley, and, like, it wasn't even 2 to 3 weeks later, they booked the Ultramel commercial. So there's specific castings we get every day. And in this point in time, 25 to 40 year olds are needed. So when I walk in town and I see someone who's got a great brand based on the castings that we receive daily, 25 to 40.
Why? Why?
Hashtag wanted. Over 25, you can do all the alcohol commercials. The legal age to do alcohol is 25.
Yeah. And so because you look like you're 18. Yeah.
So globally, 25. I mean, like, you cannot do an alcohol commercial if you're under 25 legally.
Okay.
So we're really pumping all those ads in this point in time for the marketing for SAB and all those brands. Yeah. They are shooting on a daily, consistent level to get the marketing back up. So 25 to 40 is the relatable age that is needed right now. So I'm not headhunting teenagers. We've got enough.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the 25 to 40 year olds right now that has free time to go to castings. And the thing is now, what COVID did that was amazing, because I was running an office in New York for 2 years, and I can tell you, like, we were far behind in South Africa. And COVID forced us to go digital, because now casting directors can see a self-tape and just click next. You don't have to watch someone do an entire audition, be bad or good at it, give 20 minutes of your time, and then ultimately you say next.
Yeah.
Now you get 40, 50 self-tape submissions. You can select 10 people you really like and then ultimately get them into office. So it's productivity and time management that COVID has forced for the industry right now.
Are you doing auditions on like Zoom?
Yes, we do auditions, a lot of auditions on Zoom, and that actually makes it easier for us because we can do auditions now throughout the whole African continent.
Yeah.
Because we used to just be South Africa based.
Yeah.
And with that being said, we can now actually have artists anywhere on the African continent that can do a self-tape audition. And if the production company likes them, then you get to the next level. I mean, even the voiceovers. I mean, my artists throughout the whole of the African, like all nine provinces, can submit self-tapes. And then if you get to the final cut, then only do you travel to Joburg.
Yeah.
So you don't get on a plane the whole time for every job for a cattle call cast.
That's fantastic for everybody, though. It's
absolutely.
It's a lot of time saved as well as money saved.
Money saved, time saved, and the industry is now open even for small town people.
Okay, now tell me tips for somebody listening out there that's looking to get into the game.
Yeah.
A singer, dancer, actor, voice artist, wanting to get into the game. What sort of tips could you give them in terms of what's next for them? What do they need to do? What do they need to look for?
You know, it's the most important thing is to really understand the industry, and confidence is a real big thing. It's a lot of individuals just mask and fake the outside, and they think that the external is really going to book the job. But you need internal character, and you need to have a strong mindset.
What's internal character?
Internal character for me is ultimately understanding who you are and what you bring to the table. And that is what really, I think, South Africans and, you know, from my country and what I've been experiencing doing auditions nationwide for the last 11 years is ultimately just seeing how individuals crack under pressure. Because you think that your outside is enough, but the moment that someone is redirected or the moment that someone forgets their lines and they break under that pressure, they cannot pick themselves up. So not being so hard on yourself is extremely important. But that's where experience comes in and just how you communicate with yourself. It's okay to make mistakes. We're human.
Yeah.
So don't crucify yourself over the small things, but also don't expose yourself to an industry where people have 3 years of education and a degree, because it is a respectful, competitive industry. So it's not just, I'm pretty on the outside, I can go and book these castings. You're wasting people's time.
Okay, so how do they educate themselves further? What sort of things would you, as a talent agency, what do you look for when you're looking at a talent coming through? Besides having natural talent, what sort of education behind it do you want from them?
You know, I really just ultimately look for individuals that understand what they have to offer. For me, that is really important. I had a guy the other day, he's 40 years old. And when I looked at him, I was like, you've got everything, like his look and his brand. Like when you looked at him, he was castable. He's got no experience in the industry. He's well-spoken and he's done a lot of training. So there's so many, I mean, Raven.
Training? What do you mean by training?
So online, Raven Drummer, who's the casting director for Tyler Perry Studios, that's one of my clients that sends Nickelodeon castings and international castings to us. She's got a Monday minute, like an actor's monologue minute that takes place every Monday from 6 to 7, you know, so she educates online. So YouTube, Google, like it's so virtual, it's so easy to.
So there is a lot of stuff out there for people to improve on their.
Absolutely.
So your tip then would be to further educate yourself through what all the mediums available right now, all the free stuff that's out there.
You know, there's so many people wanting to give back to empower and educate in this time. And if you spend your time on social media to find the right people that is empowering and has got the experience to teach and educate and spend less time watching what other people are doing and comparing your life to that, you will get ahead a lot faster.
Okay, so you give me one there. So that one that Tyler,
Tyler Perry Studios.
Tyler Perry Studios.
Yeah.
So you just Google that and is it
well,
on YouTube?
Well, Raven Drummer is the casting director at Tyler Perry Studios. So she's the senior executive casting director. Her name is Raven Drummer. And every Monday she does like tips on monologue Mondays.
Is it on
Mondays.
YouTube? Is it on
it's the, on Instagram. So she runs that on her Instagram.
All right, so if you're out there, you're listening, that's one of the
names.
Where's another? Give me one more.
So in terms of singers, Blaze Johnson as well as Nate Butler. Blaze Johnson is from The Voice America. Nate Butler is the A&R of America's Got Talent as well as US X Factor. And those two individuals are my clients that fly to our showcase every single year. And once a week, they are actually posting like their next gig. But before they start that gig, there's actual information sessions where they will speak about what they've prepared. And then ultimately after the show, they'll give you a breakdown on strategically what it is that they did, how they endured the crowd, how they adjusted based on what people want to see. So there's a lot of people. So search in the right directions. I always say, like, whatever you look for, you'll find. If you go onto, like, just go onto Google and say, what workshops are available online? You know, you go onto YouTube and you go and watch really like good slates and auditions. So the first thing about the way castings are going right now is if you can't slate, you're not going to have...
What is slate?
A slate is how you introduce yourself. You say your name and your surname, your age and your agency.
Okay, so now I can. Slate for me.
Let me get my posture right.
Okay, listen. Slate for me. Let me hear this.
Hi, good day. My name is Elsie Philinden. I'm 37 years of age, and I'm with 33andMe Talent Agency.
Okay. All right. That's a slate.
That's a slate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you go into the audition.
And your slate. So give me yours.
No, 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 no. There's no slate here. All you'll do is you'll be slating me. Okay. So, all right. So those are important things. Okay. Then the next step is obviously we spoke about agencies. Mm. Do your homework in terms of what agency is going to represent you.
Yes, absolutely.
Or more than represent you, that's going to want to hold you or take you on. What are the red herrings to look for?
So the first thing is ultimately understanding that there are union-based agencies that charge regulated rates. So there's something that's called NAMA and PMA. So you've got
NAMA.
NAMA.
N-A-M-A.
N-A-M-A and then PMA. So the one is a modeling association.
Yeah.
And then one is an acting association. Mm. So if you're looking for a real agency, you go and look at PMA or NAMA. It took us 7 years to get accredited. So it was a very, very difficult process. Like, there's certain regulations and expectations, and it's not just for any fly-by-night. So NAMA and PMA agencies all have the same contracts. So artists are protected and they know that they will get paid specific rates. So other agencies can, you know, and this is the thing, we had a big international brand where they offered a global rate of 800 grand. And I was mind blown because as an extra, like 13 years ago in my life, I got paid 800 grand. And he has a global brand that wants to pay you for a buyout 800 grand. The actual payment for that was 750,000. Our agency said no. But another modeling school, which was a acclaimed modeling agency, took the job. So there's always someone out there that's going to book an artist.
Why is it then that these guys... And I would imagine that it would be production houses.
It's agents. And
why do they take or work with agents that aren't accredited or aren't legit? Is it just to save money?
I can honestly tell you there's
just a buck saving.
A lot of room to make a lot more money from specific like channels. You know, if you look, it comes, you've got a client that is your brand, your product. Then you get the ad agency. Then from the ad agency, you get the production company. Mm. Then the production company gets a casting director. The casting director gets an agent. So there's so many channels that you go through to actually get to your clients having the product that they want.
Yeah.
And it's all about budget right now. So if your agency works on specific rates, someone else will take the job for a lower rate. You know, it's like...
But if it's not regulated, then you're not really leveling the playing field, so...
It makes it very difficult, you know, for agents to stand together. I mean, in America, everything is SAG. So there's like a standard rate for makeup artists. So there's a daily rate. In South Africa, everything is always negotiable. Because someone wants to... pay the bill. Someone is short 500 rand, you know, so it's so open in our industry. And it's something that ever since I started, it's always been that way.
It's like a hustle, the big hustle, eh?
Absolutely. You know, if you're not going to take the job for X amount, someone else is going to take it.
See, the unfortunate thing about that is it damages the industry along the line.
It does.
And then as much as it pays your bill today, when you don't need to pay that bill today, and you want to earn the decent money a year later, you've damaged the industry when you've done that. And that's what people don't see, the long-term effects that happen and come out of that sort of haggling.
Absolutely.
And that hustling. Yes, we're back, Castle's Council, and we're talking talent. Alsabi, tell me about, what is it called, Live Your Dream.
Yes.
Tell me all about Live Your Dream.
Live Your Dream is a TV show that's starting on the 31st of July. It's basically covering our national auditions throughout all 9 provinces, where we are auditioning models, actors, singers, and dancers.
Now, slow down.
Yes.
You do this so well and so quickly. I lose. I get just caught up in your talking. I'm not even listening to what you're saying. I'm going, hang on, well, I've just missed the whole lot. Okay, it's a show that starts on the end of June.
July.
June 31st. See how fast you were. Yeah. And I was really listening and I lost you because it was just so easy for you. End of July.
Yes.
Okay, it's a talent show.
It's a talent show.
But it's not like The Voice or America's Got Talent.
No.
Okay, so explain me what the concept is.
So the whole concept is to educate and empower aspiring individuals with dreams.
Okay.
So it's really for those artists
that's
we
really
spoke
broad.
About. Yeah. So okay. That's what we've been speaking about throughout this whole show. Mm. Is really to get into those small markets where those artists don't even know where to start.
Okay.
So I do a lot of workshops and I do a lot of in-studio sessions and topics about how do you become a model? Where do you start? You know, like if you've got a great voice, where do you go? So it ultimately is a show to educate and empower and just help individuals that it was easy for me to say, go to Google, you know, but you can go to Google and find the wrong places and the wrong platforms. So it's just truly to empower individuals on where to go and how to start. If you've got a dream and talent and you're stuck in a small town and you're not in Joburg or Cape Town, where do I go and how do I start?
Okay, so tell me, what's the reality part of this? Because that's what I was trying to work out.
So I don't think it's very much reality. I did Housewives of Johannesburg season 2. I was in episode 1 and 2, and that was very much reality.
Yeah.
So for me, this is more real in terms of an actual show that inspires a nation through education and upliftment.
Okay, because that's not live.
It's, well, everything that we are recording. So we went to Cape Town. I just came back last night from Cape Town. We left on Friday. We did auditions on Saturday. And everything
What are you auditioning?
So we're looking for models, actors, singers, and dancers. The singers come in with a 60-second song, and they're performing. Mm-hmm. And all the talent that we audition that qualify then get invited to come and do our showcase at Silver Star Casino, which is this year our 11th national show. Mm-hmm. And that's where they get to audition in front of our 6 international American clients.
Okay, so are you auditioning these guys and then through the program showing them how, what's next, or helping them?
Absolutely.
Is that the process?
So 11 years, that is what we've been doing without a TV show.
Okay.
And with the time, especially right now, with artists being so cut off from getting into studios and getting into agencies and everything's gone very virtual, it was the perfect time to take everything that we've been doing for 11 years and actually put it on television so that models, actors, singers, and dancers can see this is what an audition looks like, this is what a monologue looks like, this is what a TV commercial looks like, this is a modeling audition, and then through these auditions, they can qualify to get to our national show, but they also get to be empowered as a nation watching the show. So the talented individuals now get their TV time, but it's ultimately to empower and understand what the audition process looks like. And we're shooting everything, the mistakes, forgetting your lines. We had someone that burst into tears on Saturday. It meant so much to them that everything just went blank.
So what you did on this weekend past is going to be part of the program.
Absolutely, it's part of the program.
And then once they audition and they get past that, are they coming up to Joburg?
They're coming to Joburg.
And then you're going to be mentoring them or taking
Absolutely.
Them through the process?
So everything is mentorship.
All leading up to the final
Absolutely.
At Silver Star.
That's 23 to 25 September. And with that being said, all 6 our American agents and clients do workshops as well that entire week of the show.
Okay.
So we've got the Voice America, Blaze Johnson. He's going to do a music business workshop. So we're going to educate our singers. We've got Joey Hunter, who's been the former president of Ford Models for 30 years. That speaks to the models. And he just gives them the real insight. And then after these workshops with our international industry professionals, they then get to perform for them. And that's where, like, the television show comes back in, and Live Your Dream is then going to now show how they've gone from the actual process. We do Zoom online training sessions with all the artists once they get scouted.
Okay, so that's the reality side of it then.
Yes.
He's actually going where they are, going through the process of the learning, the workshops, and, and you're going to be showing all those sort of things.
Absolutely.
Okay, and now you mentioned, I think, two or three names of the who else is coming from...
The New York Film Academy brings in $120,000 scholarships, and that's for musical theater artists as well as for acting for film. They do multiple programs, everything from photography, 3D animation. So it really just opens the door for them. Every year we do auditions prior to the actual showcase, and then at the show, there's $120,000 that they actually award to specific candidates at our showcase. And the New York Film Academy also does an acting for film workshop. And then Raven Drummer from Tyler Perry Studios, she does an audition technique from a casting director point of view workshop, where she teaches them what the do's and the don'ts are from a casting director point of view with her credentials. She is so humble and easy to listen to that you never ever imagine her title to her actual person.
That's famous mics again.
That's
the studio
mic there. So it's just, we've selected individuals to work with these aspiring artists that ultimately really just have the heart and the compassion for humanity, and they're relatable to the individuals. And it's not those, even though they're high-end in terms of titles, they're not high-end in terms of their projection and communication. They're relatable, and the kids learn so much from these international industry professionals. So it's ultimately a blessing to work with them. And it's now been 9 years that we've been working together with these international industry professionals that come back every year because they love what they find in Africa.
And they love the talent.
Absolutely.
Just you mentioned this name a few times, Tyler Perry Studios.
Yes.
Why do I know that name?
Tyler Perry.
Give me something.
Well, gosh, for me, I absolutely love, like, that big fat mama, Tyler Perry Studios, being able to transition and direct and produce your own films. We had Raven Drummond.
Is he the guy that does the... What's that movie called?
The Big Fat Mama,
What's it? Medea.
Medea, yeah, that's absolutely it. Yeah.
Now I'm connecting.
So Raven Drummer does all the castings for his film. So she's the senior executive casting director. She's been coming to South Africa now for 6 years, and Blaze Johnson and Nate for the last 9 years.
How do people get involved in this? Have you? Is it all signed and sealed?
No, not at all. So our next stop.
Do you want to try and fix that mic?
Can I fix
it? I'm going to just turn it off, and you can just fiddle with this. I don't make too much noise. And studio, great. Is that? I'm going to.
Yes. Okay. I'm just going to sit dead still. So we're going to Durban next. I'm really, really excited to get to Durban. I haven't been there for more than 14 months.
Okay.
And Cape Town this weekend was our first auditions that we did. Then we're going to Durban.
When is Durban?
Durban is on the 14th of June.
Okay,
so very close for us right now. Individuals that are interested in registering and getting involved, understanding what is going to be expected of them in terms of a monologue or what singers need to perform. They can go onto Google, find the 33andMe Talent Agency. If you go onto our website.
What is your website?
www.33andMeTalentAgency.
And 33 is the number 33.
Number
33.
And full words. And me Talent Agency.
Co.za. Okay, we will post that up as well anyway.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, our Instagram is ITS, It's Arts Africa. And if they send a DM on It's Arts Africa, they can also see what it is that we do, because everything is posted and everything is on all our social media platforms as well as on our website.
Okay, so you got Durban coming up?
Yes.
Then when do you do locally?
That's the following weekend, so sure. Mid-June. So we're going to go.
21st.
Yes, we're going to do Durban. We're going to do Johannesburg, and then we're going to Katu.
Where's
going
Katu?
Yo, that's Northern Cape, eh?
Is it really Katu?
Yeah, Katu. That
sounds
is
like
a rachter.
Sneezing.
No. There's real talent there in the Northern Cape, eh?
And,
yeah, Katu.
Bless you. Okay.
So, sorry, it took me a second.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to Katu, we're going to Kimberley, East London, Port Elizabeth.
There definitely are some gems out there, huh?
Absolutely. You know, we found a lot of great talent in the Northern Cape and a lot of natural talent in the Northern Cape. Great voices, great model potential. Best models ultimately is in Bloemfontein. I always say I think it's something there. This iets daar wat die boere doen, jong. It definitely has
models.
To be. Models, yeah, that's Bloemfontein. And
right.
Dancers Cape Town, yes, this weekend the dancers nailed it in Cape Town.
Why do you think that is? Is it because that's where a lot of the performing arts is?
I feel there's a lot more theatre in Cape Town, and there's a lot more dancing opportunities as well as fashion. So the fashion potential in Cape Town is very strong. Joburg is very strong on commercial-based artists as well as actors. So we can already state where we find specific individual talent based on the provinces.
Here's a question about the movie industry and the film industry. The film industry in Cape Town is very big, international film industry. But locally, it's more up in Joburg.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I just think it's location. What they have in Johannesburg, we definitely don't. Well, what they have in Cape Town, we definitely don't have in Johannesburg.
Okay. So why do the internationals go to spend a lot of time in Cape Town as location, and yet the Joburg TV is pretty much set up here, and that's where it sort of they don't really move out of Joburg.
I mean, after this weekend in Cape Town, I was like, it's time to open an office there.
Cape Town's big, very big internationally.
I absolutely love Cape Town as a city, as location. And when you look at the film locations that they have available there, it's ultimately open. And, you know, if you walk in Camps Bay, you think you're in Miami.
Yeah.
It just comes at half the price for foreigners. So it's very cheap to shoot in South Africa. The way that the pricing and the costing is structured for locations, as well as the staff, as well as the crew members.
So it's appealing. You think it's a monetary thing that the reason why the international market's so big in Cape Town?
It's a lot cheaper to come to South Africa. And if you look at location in Cape Town, I mean, it looks green screen, but it's actually real nature, and it comes at great price.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I always wondered why the international. I think it's just a money thing, as you say. All right. So we got Live Your Dream. It's on, what's that, Via, is it Via?
Via TV, channel 147.
On DSTV.
Correct,
so yes. 147 DSTV. And it's going live at the end of July.
31 July.
Okay, I'll get that right, 31 July. I'm making sure I get this right because I have to watch out for this coming.
Yeah, my son's turning 18 in July, so July is a super, super special month.
Okay, you got three kids as well, I saw. Right?
That is correct, yeah. So
when did you get time for that?
You know, time management. I don't miss a single rugby game. I'm the loudest mother in the crowd.
I can believe it. I saw that slate.
The slate was composed. I can tell you there's no composure at athletics or at rugby or at netball. We love sport in our home, and ultimately, you know, the kids are very passionate. My one daughter is very passionate about the industry. And
I was going to ask you that. Are your kids going to go into the industry?
One of them, my son, is very much into business, and he wants to get into real estate. Pretty boy, but just doesn't want to really be the side of the camera. He enjoys life, and he just enjoys property, and those like kinds of things interest him, as well as sports. So he'll take a different direction. Ultimately wants to come, he's in matric this year, wants to come into business with me next year. The middle one is 10 and the baby is turning 6.
Okay. So you still got some while to do there.
Some
screaming on the side of the field for a while.
There's a lot of screaming to do. For the netball, I get very much involved because I was, I had to choose between this industry and netball. So I was very, very competitive in that field. So sometimes I want to get,
Get on the field.
I want to get in, and I'm like, defend the ball, not the person, you know. So I just wanting to share all my skills as well. So it really excites me to have my kids involved in this sport as well, because that's a great passion that I had growing up.
I think it's great that you're supportive of that as well. So fantastic. Alsebi, thank you for coming into Castles Council and telling us all about, I think, two things, telling us about the industry, I think a lot of people out there that were either wary of industry or not really sure how to get into it, I think I've learned a lot tonight, and that's the most important thing for me in Castles Council, is learning about other industries, other people, what they do, and then if anything, helping somebody along the way. Thanks for letting us know about Live Your Dream, and if you would obviously like to check it out, remember it's on channel 147 via TV. I've never seen via TV. Is it new?
It's very Afrikaans.
Oh, is it Afrikaans? I'm going to go check out this channel, 147. I don't watch a lot of TV, so look it up, 147 via in the 31st of July. I'm going to get it right. Live your dream. Catch LCB, and hopefully the next stars are going to come out of that, and all the growth and all the greatness to 13 years in the industry.
Thank you. Congratulations on that today.
To another 13 years. And maybe we'll get you
another
in.
Another 33.
And maybe we'll get you in with some of the guys that come out on top at the end of all this.
Absolutely.
And get them in to come talk about their journey.
There's already been so many in the last 11 years, but I would be really honored and privileged to share some of the new stories that come from this year. You know, especially through the midst of the storm, those finding themselves and actually finding their feet and breaking into the industry and owning their crown. I think that is important. And, you know, as you said, everything that we shared this evening is ultimately for individuals to understand that you need to do your research and find people in the industry that really has your back, that's got a passion for people. That's very important. Is research is key, and own your crown. Don't allow anyone's opinion to become your reality. It's your dream. You fight for it.
Fantastic. Thank you, LCB. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks for listening, guys, to Castles Council tonight. Remember, as I say at Castles Council every Tuesday, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Castles Council.